Last week we started the series in looking at David's life, and we're going to be extracting or observing some life lessons that we can apply for us today as we look at the life of David. And aren't you thankful that God recorded the mess ups? David's got some great, great moments. He got some bad ones too. So, and I'm thankful God recorded the bad stuff too. Aren't you? Kind of gives me hope when I blow it and realize that I'm in good company. So last week we looked at David's calling. Prophet Samuel shows up at Jesse's house. Who's Jesse? David's father. Shows up at Jesse's house and he said, "Line your boys up, Jesse." This is Prophet Samuel talking. Said, "God's going to choose a king from your family." Well, he lines up seven of the oldest and that happens to be present. And Samuel looks him over. He said, This is not one of them. Do you have any more?" He said, "Yeah, we got a little boy. He's probably 13, we're guessing, at that time. He's out in the field tending sheep." And Samuel said, "Well, bring him here." And God, through Samuel, said, "That's the one I'm choosing." And they anointed him king at that moment. Now, what happens next? According to 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 through 22, when David was announced king, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, who was king chosen at that time. God pulled his spirit from him in preparation for the up-and-coming king. And the Bible says that Saul got down and depressed, and he says, "Find somebody who can play well, maybe to bring me some comfort." And one of the servants says, "Hey, David, he actually knows how to play the harp and whatever other instrument." And Saul says, "Well, bring him on." And King Saul said, "Man, this is awesome. It's soothing me. It's helping me. I want him to stay around." Now, here's a powerful point. God had already anointed David. Are you listening? Say amen. God had already anointed David. Probably as much as a year later is what's happening right now. He called him to be the king, but now he calls David, he orchestrates it where David shows up, is now serving the existing king. What do you think is going on while David's around the king, the castle and the mansion or whatever they lived in? God was preparing him to ultimately step in. Only God could do something like that. He's now in the king's court at times serving. David kept serving where God had placed him. Now, I'm telling you, this is such a huge point of this whole message today. Sometimes God gives us a vision. He says, "I just believe this is going to happen," but we want to get there right now. And he was already anointed king. As far as God's concerned, he was king. But yet, it was a few years later before it was manifested. So we've got to dream big, we'll talk about, but be patient and let God exalt you through the process. Now that brings us up to the story to today. 1 Samuel 17, verses 1 through 11, tells about a very large man. I wish the kids were in here. But who was this large man? Goliath. It was Goliath. Did you know that Bible says, I believe I read this somewhere, y'all help me, you Bible scholars, that Saul was also a very huge man. Is that true? Y'all remember reading that? I think that's the case. However, he and Israel had placed their hope in this earthly king instead of the king. And therefore, when you do that, you look at your giants and you see them in the physical realm, you get fearful. But the more you look away from your obstacle and you begin to look at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the all-powerful one, this mountain, this giant begins to shrink. And I'm telling you, it's a process to learn how to do this. Because when the bottom drops out, all we can see is the problems and the fallout from what has happened, instead of saying, wait a minute, God's much bigger than this. He's already got the victory. He's already seen the beginning from the end of this thing. Why should I worry? Now keep in mind, Saul was slipping. Remember, the Holy Spirit had left him. But Goliath had been taunting the God of Israel, and he'd been coming two times a day, basically saying, "Where is somebody that'll fight me?" And the Bible says he was just taunting God and making fun of the God of Israel and so forth. He said, "Is there not just one that'll come out and fight me?" And of course, this happened for 40 days. Now, let's pick up in the scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verses 17 and 18. Then Jesse said, to David, his son. Evidently, David was not there in the king's court all the time. He was evidently back and forth. At this time, he was back at home. Jesse, the father, said, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000. And look into the welfare of your brother and bring back news of them." In other words, David's brothers were out in battle and seeing this happening, you see, this Goliath that was coming and making fun of them. Now I want you to watch this carefully. David's victory through battle started with carrying a basket. You see, we want to be on the front line and do it now. 1 Peter, I talk about this verse a lot because God taught me this a long time ago. Have I mastered it? No. But I'm doing a whole lot better than I did when I was 20 years old. So I'm hoping that you young teenagers, and you, especially you young adults, and you old adults, if you ain't got this yet, you can still, there's still hope for you. 1 Peter 5:6, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Young people and young adults, I'm going to give some personal examples, okay? I've seen it happen just recently. I've seen it happen in my previous pool life. I've seen it happen in church where somebody has a heart for the Lord and they just want to be in charge of something and they want to go charge. And I'm telling you, they'll walk over the preacher the whole time saying, "Wait a minute, you need to slow down. Let's wait on God to exalt you. I know you're on fire for the Lord." But back to the business world, I've seen young people come up and I'll see a type A personality. That means that they're usually the leader type. They're the take charge type. They want to make the decisions and we need people like that. But they basically want to jump up there and get where I'm at or where another supervisor is that took a few years for them to get there and me a lifetime. But they want what their parents have now. But yet, it took their parents 30 years to get it. Y'all see that happening out there? Young people, please listen to me. If you will just set your mind to let God exalt you, it's not about you pushing yourselves up and making things happen. I'm telling you, God will set you on the sideline. I've been set on the sideline before. How about y'all? I had a heart, I had a vision for something, and it wasn't happening. And God taught me through grace to learn how to rest. I'm telling you, the grace will do it. Sometimes He wants you just to rest, to receive from Him, grow in grace, understand your identity, but then He's preparing you for something maybe that's going to be bigger, that's going to come. I want to steal a quote or two from my son. He preached on David and Goliath, and we always share in sermons with each other just to get ideas. And I told him, I said, "I just believe in giving credit." And he said a powerful thing or two you're going to hear in this message. Look at this first one. It says, "Sometimes it's doing the things that seems beneath you that releases the greatest blessing." What do you think about that? All right, here's one of mine. Look at this one. And he said something similar, but I had to brush it up a little bit and fix it. It needed a little help. No, I'm just kidding. All right, look at this next one. "Believe big, but humbly wait for God to exalt you there." Oh, that was good, wasn't it? I like kiss-ups, don't y'all? No, I'm just kidding. Now, think about it. God wants you to believe big, but slow down. Let Him... This is a picture of what was going on with David. He was already there as far as God's concerned, but God had not so orchestrated him to actually be there. Wow, what a picture. He's already forgiven you sins past, present, and future, but you're still struggling. How could He have forgiven something I ain't done before? He's already healed you in the name of Jesus Christ, but you still see the symptoms. You see the how God works? You got to thank Him and see big, but yet be patient. Trust the Lord. Now, David was humbly serving by carrying food to his brothers. Now, I'm going to read a good bit of scripture here. Look at verse 23. "As he was talking with them, behold," remember David's up front, he's taking this food and he hears all this. He's up front, he's listening, he said, "Behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel, and it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Now keep in mind, this is about probably a year or two later, so once again, he's probably, David's 15 or so, we're guessing, our scholars say. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" I love that. I don't know how he knew that. I just thought, okay. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in accord with this word, saying, "Thus it will be done for the man who kills him." Many mistaken weakness or humility for weakness. I believe David was a humble person, but many mistaken humility for weakness for being a doormat. Nothing could be further from the truth. I tell folks all the time, I quote this around the office every now and then, don't I, Adam? That Jesus, and Michael, I said, Jesus was perfect humility, but he was no wimp. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is humility, and the Holy Spirit's boldness will come through at the right time when you've got your heart tuned into him. That's a good word. When your heart aligns, this is another quote or idea from my boy. He said, when your heart aligns with God's heart, your burdens match and your boldness multiplies. Wow. When your heart aligns with God, you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're letting him live his life through you, you'll have a burden for what burdens the Holy Spirit, but then he'll give you boldness and it'll begin to multiply. True humility comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's boldness began to erupt in David when he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's taunting the name of the Lord?" This is a 15-year-old boy. And this 9.5-foot Goliath was standing there. Now let's read on, verse 31. "When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul." Remember King Saul. "And he sent for him. David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant,'" he calls himself his servant. He was already the king, but yet he was understanding that God hadn't exalted him to that position yet. And he still said, "I'm your servant, King Saul." What a beautiful picture of just serving right where God has placed you with the heart of gratitude. Thanksgiving's coming. You want to have the best servant's heart? Keep a thankful heart. Sometimes we as employees, and we'll say, "Well, if I'm doing better than so-and-so, and I know he's making more than I am." I'm telling you, is that a serving with a heart of thanksgiving? How about being thankful that you have a job? You know what I'm saying? How about, you know, change that up? And I clearly believe that's what David was doing here. He said, "Your servant will go and fight with the Philistines." Scholars, as I stated, has estimated that he was 15 to 17, 13 to 15 when he was anointed. But David felt burdened to be used of the Lord. There was just one problem. I want you to notice King Saul's reply. Verse 33, "Then Saul said to David, 'You're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth.'" Hey, when you start choosing to follow the Holy Spirit's lead, people are not going to like it. People are going to talk about you. They're going to say, "You can't do that. You're too young. You're too old. You're not gifted. You don't have enough money. How in the world are you going to ever accomplish this?" I've got the t-shirt. Just a word, your family's not going to like it either. Your close personal family. I skipped over it for sake of time, but verses 28 and 29 said that David's brothers that he took food to were furious. That little young punk brother of mine is standing up, and here we are, warriors. He's making them look bad. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you to do some things that's going to make some people mad. Did that stop David? Let's keep reading. Verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. He starts giving a little credibility. He said, I was attending my father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued him from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Verse 36, your servant, talking about himself, has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. You talk about boldness. Where did that boldness come from? From God, from the Holy Spirit, working through him. Look at verse 37. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, I love this, go and may the Lord be with you. I mean, have y'all ever seen somebody called of something you knew good and well that they couldn't do that in and of their own strength, and you say, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm behind you. We're not going to be out front with them, but we're going to send them off in the name of Jesus. That's kind of what King Saul said here. He said, well, go, and may the Lord be with you. David said, our giant is no match for my Jesus. Wow. What if we had that saying every time some problem came up in our life? This problem is no match for my Jesus. That'd be a good word, wouldn't it? Y'all can go home if you want to, if you just remember that one, okay? But it gets better. Hang on. Friends, even when you say yes to the Lord, obstacles will come. I believe Satan puts it into hyperdrive that he wants to stir up problems. He don't want you stepping through doors of faith and through stepping into the unknown, where I believe God goes into hyperdrive, don't you? When our faith, we step out of ourselves, and we say, wow, I can do this in the name of Jesus. Satan's going to work overtime. He's going to try to get you to doubt. But let me encourage you with something. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at this quote. Obstacles are never meant to discourage you. They are a reminder of God's greatness. You see, David focused on God's power instead of Goliath's attack. David focused on God's power. He says, he's no match for my God. But yet he's standing there, he's here, and he's doing like this, and it's Goliath, the biggest wrestler you've ever seen with armor on, and he's a little old kid out here with a slingshot. John 16:33, this might be a good script for somebody here today. In the world, you will have tribulation and trouble. But what did Jesus say? But be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. I've already overcome that obstacle that you're facing right now. Let's read. Verse 38. Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with armor. David girded up his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them all off. I can just picture little David. They put all this heavy stuff on him and gave him this big old sword, and he's trying to walk with all this stuff on. He said, forget all this. We try to prepare. And I believe a call to ministry, a call to a job, a call to whatever, a parent, I believe it's a call to prepare. I believe that. I don't believe you just need to have a lackadaisical attitude of just show up, it'll be okay. I'm telling you, I don't believe in that. I believe you need to prepare. However, remember I said dream big, but yet God exalts you. Prepare in the Lord. I've had professors say, and I've heard other preachers say, I prepare for Sunday as if it's all on me. I don't agree with this, okay? Hang with me. I prepare for Sunday as if it's all on me to deliver the message. But when I get there, I pretend it's all God. I disagree with that. I prepare as if it's all Jesus. I come here on Sunday as if it's all on Jesus. Can you imagine the pressure if I'm going through my head, I've got to get this right, I've got to just do all this, and I've got to make sure I got my sermon illustrations and my points and my poem at the end and all this stuff. You know, there's 3 points in a poem. That's usually the seminary joke about sermons. But anyway, I believe that you prepare with a heart just in tune with the Holy Spirit, not trying to think you got to do it all, you see. Look at verse 40. So he had stripped all that off. He took his stick in his hand. You remember when you were kids, you used to fight with sticks as swords, you know. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones. I asked the Lord, I said, why 5? I can't tell you this is the only reason, but I'll tell you one of them. Holy Spirit said, do you know what the number of grace is in the Bible? It's the number 5. It only took 1. But just a thought. I'm sure there's other deeper reasons, but to me, that's a pretty good one. Okay? Took 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Now we're going to drop on down to verse 43. The Philistine said to David, can you imagine big Goliath saying this? Am I a dog that you've come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. I know what I'd have done. This big old joker saying, you're coming at me like I'm a dog with your little stick. And then he says, I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds. Okay? David didn't do that. You see, David had the mentality of the power of the Holy Spirit walking in him. And I'm telling you, there, I love to see humility with power. You know the old saying, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. A person that's full of the Holy Spirit, just letting him lead them, there's a quiet boldness about that person. And I've just asked God, I hope I demonstrate that every now and then. But I just want that in my life, and not some fake, we just got to believe in Jesus, knowing deep down you're scared to death. No, I'm talking about a genuine realness that you can tell that person is walking with the Lord. That's kind of what I see happening here with David. Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. Can you imagine Goliath? I bet he was having a ball with that, wasn't he? All right, keep on reading. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel, and all of this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver my sword or my spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Wow. Did you notice that he was never boasting about himself? When you have that giant in front of you, don't talk about how you're going to fix it. Say, hey, God, the God of Israel, the God who's in my heart, in my soul, in my life, I'm in him. We're in one in union. We're going to be talking more about that union that we have with God. The more you really believe that, you think, wait a minute, that mountain, I'm in Jesus. You know, Goliath was 9 foot. How tall is God, if you want to put it in physical terms? Your confidence comes from God himself, from God's character, and not your credentials. Not from your abilities. Do you trust in the superiority of yourself and what you can do? Or do you trust in the superiority of the one who lives within you? I want to share one more thing my son brought out that I'd never thought about. Most comforting part of this story is that you're actually not David in this story. Jesus is David. Do you think David was a picture of Jesus in a lot of ways? I think he was. Well, in this story, Jesus is the one who killed the giant through David. It wasn't David, right? Jesus didn't just defeat sin, if you want to take this thing now to a whole bigger picture. He destroyed it. He didn't just defeat sin. He took it away. Jesus is the true hero in this story. Holy Spirit living through David. Because of Jesus, your giant is already dead. Well, preacher, that's nice to say I'm up there from where you at. You don't know what I'm going through. No, but my God does, and your God does. You know, just because he's dead doesn't mean there's still not some things you're going to have to deal with. There's still trouble, but you keep believing what God is telling you now, that giant is already dead. As a close, I want you to think about how a small stone led to a victorious situation. Look at verses number 48 and 49. Then it happened when the Philistine rose up and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone. Remember I said one? And slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Where do you find yourself this morning? Do you find yourself staring down some giant? Can I remind you of a quote I showed you earlier? Obstacles are never meant to discourage you. May it be a reminder of how big your God is, of the greatness of your God. Jesus has already won the victory over that situation. Start seeing it. Start thanking him that it's already done. It's already finished. I'm telling you, there is so much power in your words and what you're thinking and what you're saying. Allow me to remind you in closing of Romans 8:31. Y'all know what that says? If God is for you, help me out, who can be against you? Can I get you to personalize that? If God is for me, say it with me, if God is for me, who can be against me? Are you still doubting that it is God for you? I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't believe that God is for them because they can't seem to get it right, because they keep going to church and hearing preachers say, you better be doing this and you better stopping that if you want God to bless you. And you're not seeing God bless you, so therefore, what's the conclusion? I'm not serving hard enough. I'm not abstaining from enough sin. I'm not. I hope that this settled here at this church. God is for you. Now, if you begin to believe that, you can now say, who can be against me? Father, thank you for today. May you just get glory through any words that were said. May your people be so encouraged, and that, as one old preacher said, they're so encouraged and bold that they could attack hell with a squirt gun. God, may we just realize that the battle is already won. That God, we're struggling down here. We think we're in a little hole and we're facing this giant of a mountain from our valley. And we don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle it. We are freaking out about it. Father, I pray that this message, your Holy Spirit, has jerked the rug of fear, of worry, of anxiety from every person that hears this message. That God, that they will just take this as an opportunity now to change their focus and to begin to say, wow, this looks pretty bad from where I'm sitting. However, I'm looking past that and I'm looking to your greatness. I'm looking to your victory. And I believe you, and I thank you in advance for all the good that's going to come from this situation. I don't know what it is, Lord, but I know there's something good coming. And I know that you've already gotten victory over this. You lead me and you guide me one step at a time as I keep my eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen.